it's encouraging to get a win when things aren't going well. I'm glad that the guys played so well in the first half and first maybe 24, 25 minutes and gave us enough of a cushion so, you know, we could kind of orchestrate the end of the game. Didn't want to have 19 turnovers doing it and didn't want to give up 13 offensive rebounds. Unfortunately, those are statistics that we have the opportunity to clean up going forward without taking the loss. So now we'll focus in on getting those things better and just watching film and getting back home and going to work.
Marvin Menzies after last night's Runnin' Rebels win at Pacific, a game that was a lot closer than anyone but the odds makers here in Vegas thought it would be. Well, good morning to you, and welcome to another edition of Out of Line. I'm Brian Feldman, and joining me in studio, it's the Las Vegas Sports Studio Fox here in Vegas, the newest edition of the show, and future star of Out of Line from Behind, the Las Vegas Sports Show, I should say scene, that is the beautiful and twisted New York Yankee fan, Missy Lynn Spence. You'll join in a minute. Be quiet. It's not time for you yet.
You may want to introduce where you're doing this show from, because I have no idea where that
Fox Sports Studio, man. I jumbled it up.
Hey, Mags,
I haven't slept in 2 days.
You're a lunatic.
So I mean, a little bit old to be pulling two all-nighters in a row. Although I did actually get 2 hours of sleep on Friday night, so I lied. I did get 2 hours.
All right, there you go. And this guy wearing fat form. You're a little too old to be wearing fat form.
No. It was a gift. It's a gift, and I think I rock it really well. Listen, if you're not checking us out right now, you can check us out on Facebook Live, right? We're on Facebook Live?
That's right, we're on live right now.
Right now, and the bottom line is, it's on Missy's Facebook page. So, if you're not her friend yet, you should be. Check out Missy Spence and...
Missy Lynn.
Yeah, Missy. It's Missy Lynn, right? Lynn, it used to be Missy Spence. You changed it.
Times change.
Listen, my suggestion is you jump on board before she sells out, because it is my understanding that Facebook only allows for 5,000 people. And if you saw her, you would want to be her friend and might even want to join her stalker posse. She has one of those as well. That's for another time in another show. Also here is the man who is one of the production... He pretty much won with the production board, I would say. Although the production board is not always one with him. It's not one with anybody sometimes in the studio, as we found out in the past. But future Nevada Hall of Fame producer Magnum has it under control, as probably anybody does in the station, right? The board is the board. Sometimes I come in and it's dead air in here.
Yeah, that's never a good thing.
No, it happens once in a while. Listen, if today is the day you are losing your out-of-line virginity, I want to tell you to welcome to the show. We are here every Sunday from 8 to 9 on our flagship station of the Golden Knights, which is Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. We are also streaming live on the Las Vegas Sports Network. Our social media handles, the Twitter page is at out-of-line 1340 AM. That will be changing eventually. And you can find, like, and follow the Facebook page, which is amazingly enough called Out of Line. That's OUTTALINE. Without you, there is absolutely no reason for us to get out of bed on a Sunday morning. So, by all means, if you have something to say, turn down your radio and pick up your phone. The Fox Sports Studio line is 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
What's on Tap is pouring out thanks to Bubby's University on South Hualapai between Tropicana and Flamingo, a great place to watch every game. Last night, the UNLV men's basketball team won their 9th game of this still young season. But as you heard from their coach a little over a minute ago, it wasn't a marquee win. I read about it and saw the stats, but Magnum was working the wheels of steel for the game on ESPN Radio, our sister station, last night. And I'm interested to hear his take in a few minutes. And Missy and I spent yesterday afternoon blazing all over Sam Boyd Stadium at the Las Vegas Bowl working our new gig. It's video, it's live, it's free to watch, and it's called, in part, Out of Line from Behind, co-starring Missy Lynn Spence. I shouldn't have to say any more, but I will. You'll have to stick around for that. And today's interviews are with Boise State quarterback Brett Rypien. And if you're a hockey fan, Nightcap is a shot of Vegas Golden Knights goalie Marc-Andre Fleury mixed with a game-winning goal and a chat with defenseman John Merrill. Fact, this is about an Ebenezer Scrooge who resides in the Thomas and Mack Center during every men's basketball game. Magnum knows him. Shapiro knows him. Wynn knows him. We all know him. He sits in the Bob Bloom press box or press pass. We're going to talk about this guy in a minute. He is Ebenezer Scrooge.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay? And cumulatively, we are still hitting our NFL picks of the week at a rate of just under 70%. That percentage has to be among the best of the honorable and honest services. So if you're throwing some of your hard-earned dollars down this morning, our opinions are free. All you got to do is be here to hear them. What's on Tap is brought to you by Bubby's University, where you can earn your degree in food, draft beer, gaming, and the hard stuff. The only major is a good time. Bring your Rebel ID, and your first beer is free. You can enroll 24 hours a day. Yes, that means they never close. Bubby's University at 4570 South Hualapai between Tropicana and Flamingo. Go to bubbysuniversity.com for more information. Mags, 81-76. It seems like they got out to a good start, but to me, the only thing I saw that 1 week layoff did is help Jordan Johnson find the basket again. Other than that, that's pretty scary after a layoff to play a team like Pacific and only win by, 6 points? But the odds makers had it right. They didn't think UNLV was going to blow them out.
Well, it was a tale of two halves because UNLV really played well in the first half. They had a double-digit lead at the half. I think it was 15, 16 points at the half. I think at some points of the game, it was up to 19. Then the second half, they were very sloppy. They had 19 turnovers in the game. And, I think if you bet the Rebels laying 7 last night, what was it, 7, I think?
Yeah, I think seven.
You're sick to your stomach as Pacific scored 6 points in about a second. There was an end one, and the guy made the end. He obviously made it. And then there was a turnover, and a wide open three for Pacific, and in a matter of about a second, you went from covering the game to losing. So it was really a tale of two halves. I mean, obviously, Coach Menzies was happy that they got away with a win, but he wasn't happy with the turnovers, for obvious reasons. And, I think it's only the second game that they played on the road this season, and they were lucky. I don't want to say they were lucky because they were the better team. They were the better team for most of the night. Northern Iowa, they probably should have gotten the win there, not for a terrible charging call or terrible blocking foul, I should say. But, it's we're going to learn a lot about this team. I mean, I'm not too concerned about Northern Colorado or the Delta Devils of Mississippi Valley State. Those should both be huge wins for UNLV. They'll play Boise at home to open up the season. And to me, that's going to be a determination into whether or not this is a real team or not. We'll find out very quick because it's an indoctrination into the Mountain West for a lot of these players. Brandon McCoy, Shakur Justin, Nunu Beck, and Anthony Johnson or Anthony Smith. We're going to find out very quickly if this team is for real or not. Going on the road is never an easy thing, especially in the Mountain West Conference. You play at all sorts of wild places and the conference doesn't get the credit it deserves for road wins, because winning at Laramie is not easy, which is why you don't see teams from major conferences go play at Laramie. Winning at the Pit is never easy, although this year it appears to be. Viejas is a tough place, and they generally win almost every out-of-conference game they play at Viejas. San Diego State does. So, this is a tough conference to win on the road because there's a lot of heavy travel, a lot of faraway places like Laramie, Colorado Springs, Albuquerque, Logan, Utah. You fly in the Salt Lake, you still have a 2-hour drive when you get to Logan or to get to Logan. So, it's a conference where travel is hard and winning on the road is hard. And I think we're going to find out very quickly. Granted, that Boise game is at home, but I think the way I look at it, this team has already exceeded my expectations as far as what they were going to be out of conference. I mean, presuming they don't lose one of these next two games. I think if they go 11-2, I think we're thrilled, knowing that they probably should have won both of the games that they lost, beating Northern Iowa on the road and then winning against Arizona. So in theory, they could be 13-2 or 13-0 going into non-conference or in the conference. They won't be. I think 11-2 is very realistic. And I said if they go 12-6 in the out-of-conference or in the conference, which is, I think, realistic, they may not be an NCAA tournament team, but they will be in either the NIT. Well, they will be in the NIT if they go 23-6. I can't imagine that they won't.
No, of course they will be. And, you know, it's funny. Missy, I sit here and I'm thinking, you know, I'm too old to rock this shirt, but here Mags knows a great deal about UNLV. The guy is as much of a walking encyclopedia when it comes to sports anywhere. But I look at him in the bucket hat, and how do you take the guy that seriously? And yet he knows what he's talking about. But you're looking at him in the bucket hat, like, if people were sitting here watching the show right now, I mean, would they take us seriously? If they couldn't hear us and all they could do was see us right now, they'd be like, those guys, there's no way they know that much about sports.
Bringing back the Gilgamesh Island.
That's why you never judge a book by its cover.
We have the old guy in the Fat Farm shirt and the old guy in the Gilligan hat. I mean, it's just
it's awesome here. And then we got Spiga in the Yankee beret.
We're all good.
Hey, here's the thing. This UNLV basketball team right now, Chris, at the beginning of the season, like you said, we'd been thrilled at 11-2, okay? And that looks like what they very well could be going into conference play with that record. Boise at home, and a lot of people say Boise will be right there at the end of the season with to win a Mountain West Conference champion. They're as good as any team in this league.
Yes,
you got UNR, Fresno, but Boise is in that conversation. UNLV now has worked their way into that conversation, but here's what I say. I think that a Boise is a very winnable game. Then they go on the road to San Jose State. They come back to play Utah State. Is it realistic? I mean, seriously, to think if they get by Boise State, could this team end up 15-2 to start the season?
I think so, because I think they will be. I think they're a much better team than Utah State. Utah State really struggled in the first half against something called Life Pacific last. I don't even know what the hell that is. Sounds like an insurance company, you know, and they ended up blowing them out in the second half. But, you know, they're not a good team. Utah State's not good. San Jose State is the worst team in the conference, easily the worst team in the conference.
I would agree.
Once again, they're going to bring down the conference RPI just with how sad they are. I know they've lost a lot of games to some really bad teams. You know, like basically they've lost games to teams that UNLV has played in non-conference. I'll look it up and see. I can't remember exactly who they played, but I think if they get by Boise 3-0 in the conference, is certainly something that's attainable. 15-2, I think, is definitely. And you know what? I think if you're 15-2 and you have a win over Boise and people see that UNLV beat Illinois, granted, Illinois is not a great team this year, but I think you get to that point, you're probably flirting with the top 25.
I'm looking at potentially their first loss coming. This is being just overly optimistic, but I'm looking at their first loss coming at Colorado State on January 20th if they get by Boise State. Here's my big concern.
I disagree with you there, because Colorado State is not good this year either.
They're very well coached. They may be the best coached team in the Mountain West Conference. Would you agree, Larry Stacy may be the best coach in the Mountain West?
What
he did last year was nothing short of miraculous, extremely shorthanded. It was amazing what he did. So I say they're going to be a tough out because that guy can flat out coach. But here's the thing. It's the layoff. They've got that 8-day layoff again after they get done with the next couple of games. You know, they've got the game which they definitely should win, like you said, Mississippi Valley. They should beat Northern Colorado, and then they've got 8 days off again. That's what scares me. Even though the game's at home against Boise, they didn't do very well with this layoff. Like you said, they came out like a house on fire in the first half, got a double-digit lead, but they really sagged in the second half. They come out in the second half, Mags, like they did against Pacific yesterday against Boise State, and they will get beat.
Yeah, but the difference is they will be at home, and it's a completely different animal playing at the Thomas and Mack as opposed to playing in a high school gym, which is basically what Pacific plays in. You know, I'm looking at San Jose State. They lost by 12 to Southern Utah. That's all you got to know about San Jose State. They lost to Denver, Portland. They've been blown out by the only win it looks like they have is Idaho State. I think they did beat someone else. But, you know, the thing is, it's like for UNLV, I think playing at home is a completely different animal than playing on the road. And certainly, I think the Boise State game, the layoff I don't think it'll be an issue because it's the first conference game. It's the first game after the holidays. And it's a home game. And it's a big game. And I think Marvin will have these guys ready to play. I don't foresee them, even after the long layoff, I don't foresee them playing a similar game as they did against Pacific. Pacific, they play a little bit of a different style as well. So I think at the Thomas and Mack, if that game was in Boise, I would feel completely different about it. I would say that's a loss. But opening up at home after the layoff, I don't see them having the same types of issues that they had last night in the second half.
Miss, you got something going over here. What's going on?
Oh, we have a few people here on Facebook Live.
Go ahead, recognize, man.
Let's say hello to William Ramirez.
Willie Ramirez, absolutely. We saw him yesterday at the game.
That we did. Hello, hello, how are you?
Willie, the only guy in the media who dresses better than me.
All right, we got a little bit deep in here, but I'm wearing high tops. Go ahead.
We have some people from New York.
Okay.
Julio Clarizo.
I thought you were going to say Julio Iglesias. I'm like, he's not from New York, but, you know, he might be listening. His son, Enrique, dated my dream girl for a long time.
Oh, really?
Anna Kournikova, man.
Oh, there you go.
What do they say Anna Kournikova's like? She's like, it's Ace King, man. It looks good, but never wins.
Well, I think she.
She's another Spiga. There you go.
She was with Sergey Fedorov for a while too. Wasn't
I met her in Detroit when she was with Sergey Fedorov.
You mean you stalked her when she was in Detroit?
It was crazy. I was wearing a Red Wings tie, and this woman comes up and grabs my tie and says, "That's a nice tie," in a really thick accent. And I looked at her up close. She looked like she was 12 years old.
Well, she probably was at the time.
But she was tall. She was taller than I was. I mean, she doesn't look as tall on television, but she's a tall girl. She had to be 5'10" because I'm about 5'9". So yeah.
All those tennis players are tall.
They're tall.
Yeah.
Solid.
Pretty crazy. But hey, we appreciate y'all checking out Facebook Live. Again, it is something. And you know what, Mags? Let's transition out of UNLV basketball. We're going to talk a lot about them. And we got to talk about something blazing. We got the song. Yeah, there we go. Good job, man.
Dance it up.
I always dance it up. I'm hot because I'm fly. You ain't because you're not. You ain't because you're not. You know what's hot? You know what's blazing? And first of all, blazing is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 in North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza, a stone's throw from Centennial Hills Hospital. They have two happy hours every day, and we all know there is no place better for wings, beer, and sports than Buffalo Wild Wings. Every Monday night, I think we host the best Monday night football party in Vegas. It is at the 215 North Durango again. I'll be there for the final Monday night football party of the year tomorrow night. Not a great game. I mean, Atlanta's playing at Tampa Bay. A big game for Atlanta right now. They're holding down the last wild card spot in the NFC. I am a huge Tampa Bay fan this weekend. The Lions are hanging in there, beat the Bears yesterday, and they're holding on, but they're not even. I mean, 10-6 is probably not going to get you or guarantee you a playoff spot in the NFC, where 10-6 would do everything but get you a home field game in the AFC.
Actually, it probably would get you a home field game in the
Disgusting.
AFC.
Disgusting.
You know, I think, unfortunately for your Lions, they're in
Mets,
trouble.
They play Cincinnati on the road next week.
No, Cleveland. Cleveland.
No, they play Cincinnati. They've already played Cleveland. They play Cincinnati on the road next week. And after what the Bears just did in Cincinnati, I don't think the Lions will have a problem there. The problem is going to be Aaron Rodgers again in the season finale at Ford Field. The Lions at that time, I'm thinking, will be 9-6. And then they've got the Packers coming in. Aaron Rodgers will have a couple games under his belt again with his sore wing, his broken collarbone, which is healed. He's supposed to play today, right?
Yes, he is playing today.
He's playing today. So, I mean, oh my God, if that happens again to us in the last game of the season, Mags, I don't know what I'm going to do. I really don't know what I'm going to do.
I think, unfortunately, your Lions are probably going to lose next week, so the game against Green Bay won't mean anything.
You think the Cincinnati will beat him? Because, you know, Marvin Lewis, matter of fact, I don't know if you heard
this. He's playing for his job.
No, his job's done. You must not have heard. I just heard it driving in. Marvin Lewis says he is going to be leaving the Cincinnati Bengals to pursue other ventures. What does that mean?
That means you were fired.
Well, your ass was out of here. Listen, the bottom line is I was going to talk about Blazin'. And what I'm saying with Blazin' is yesterday, dude, the Las Vegas Bowl was blazing. It's been going on here for a while in Las Vegas.
26 years.
At 26 years. I'll tell you what, it is a great time. We experimented with Facebook Live yesterday. Chris, you got to get on and check it out. It was cool. Like I said, Missy got asked out by both the Oregon Duck and the Bronco. I said we're probably going to have ducklings running around the studio in a little while.
Well, I heard they stink, so let's hope
okay.
That doesn't happen.
No duckling. Well, he took the camera. It was great. We almost got booted off the sidelines at Oregon by some guy. All I said was, and you tell me if I'm wrong, Shapiro will agree with me. The bottom line is, for a little while, Brett Rypien was keeping the Oregon Ducks in the game. Now, he's the quarterback of the Boise State Broncos. How can he do that? Well, when you're throwing interceptions in the end zone and you have Statue of Liberty plays that go wrong, that's going to happen. But this guy on the sideline didn't want to hear it. He was from Russia, and you were not allowed to say what you thought. It had to be positive, and I thought, man, Phil Knight just has some scouts around there on the sidelines making sure that you say what they want to hear.
Yeah, he pushed my phone and everything.
Oh, he did. He pushed your phone. But I'll tell you, how cool was yesterday? Cool was that?
That was just a dream. That was so much fun. I can't believe we did that. That was great. It was nuts, on the sidelines,
right?
And yeah, going around. We got to hang out with everybody.
We had the boom guy, Max. We got the boom guy with the sound barrier. He's telling me, he points like this, and well, you can't see me. Well, they can see me on Facebook. He was going like this to me, and he has me lean down in the boom so I could hear my reverberation in the boom too. It was all for her, but I don't care. I was benefiting from it. It was great.
I'll say this. I'm glad you guys didn't get John Treat. Because if you read any of his tweets, apparently his pants got caught in something and tore a hole in the back of his pants.
I saw John running around the sideline. That I thought, you know, he was cold. That's what it had to have been.
He had
some air conditioning going.
So I'm glad you guys didn't get treats. Good God, but I don't want to see his
pants. No. I'm sure there's some women. Not a bad looking dude. I'm sure there's some women out there that wouldn't mind seeing that.
Yeah.
I, on the other hand, not really that interested. I mean, I love John to death.
Not what you told me in the break, though.
Well, Max, but that's a different story,
okay? All right.
That's my other personality. We don't bring that one on the air. But in all seriousness.
That's Brian Feldman with an I, right?
But really, it was blazing, and the whole game. And you're going to see, we've got coming up here shortly. We've got a YouTube show that we're getting ready to start. We're getting ready to launch probably after the first of the year. We'll do our next Facebook Live, God willing. It'll be this Tuesday night. When did the Rebels play against Wednesday?
Wednesday.
So hopefully we'll get your next action with it. It's a lot of fun. We're going to be doing Facebook Live initially, and we're getting to the YouTube stuff. And it is going to be called, get ready for this again. If you didn't hear it earlier, it is Out of Line. From behind the Las Vegas sports scene. That's it, right?
I love it.
It's good, right?
You know what? I'm embracing
it. Meg, you got to see the picture we took that's going to be our headliner picture. We went and saw Mike Hammer on Friday night, and it was great. After the show, we took some pictures and stuff. Good time, man. Have you seen the show with Hammer?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you got to go.
He had me on stage.
Hammer is a very funny guy, and what I like about Hammer is he likes to push the envelope a little bit, and he dresses really nice. I actually like the way Hammer dresses. I mean, he's a cool guy. I've only met him once, but
Do you think he'd wear that hat?
The hat I'm wearing? No, he's not. No, he's much cooler than me, so no, he would definitely not wear this Gilligan's Island hat. But
I don't think he would rock that, but I'll tell you what, he's good in most situations. I mean, dude, all I'll tell you is, some of his feats of magic are pretty incredible at the show. Like, it's like, wow, there's a reason he's been doing this for 7.5 years and doesn't get canned or booted around. He does a really good job. And we got a pretty intimate audience. It was not as big, I guess, as usually was. And the thing was, the audience was lame. And
well, it's the...
But no, the whole thing is normally it's not lame like this. But my point is, it was really good. And he's like telling us how bad it was and all this was. And we were laughing our asses off. It was a great show. I tell you what, when people come to town, I'll take them to see Hammer Time, man. It was a good show. I liked it.
That's good to hear, because he's told me he'll take care of me. Just let him know when. Then he says, hey, by the way, who is this?
Well, here's the thing. After the game, we went around. We saw some of the players. It was cool. Missy, even the coach, Brian, Oregon, or not Oregon's, Boise State's coach, Brian, I can't think of the guy's last name now, but he leaned down.
Carson?
Harold, I can't think of the guy's last name. I'll get it in a minute. But he leaned down from the podium afterwards, and he looks at Missy, and he says, hey, did you get all that? I mean, everyone's, you know what was really cool? Another thing we did, and we didn't have this on tape, we're walking around, and we spent about 10 minutes talking to Chet Buchanan. And you know what? He is really a good dude. I've talked to him a number of times.
Yeah, he's
a genuine
guy.
What's amazing is I didn't put it in, you know, all the years he's been doing Toy Drive. He says he spent over 200 days of his life living on a scaffold.
That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, obviously, I mean, this time of year, to me, it's what he does every year. I mean, and we have Seat Williams, who also does a toy drive.
He does.
And so I think anybody in our business who does stuff to help kids, you know what, they're a good guy, you know. It's not about competition. It's about, you know, look, we're all human. And, you know, I think what that guy does, I mean, I've been living in this city a long time, and you know, I think it's pretty cool what he does. And you know what? I mean, it's like I said, it's not about competition. It's about being a good person. And you know what he does is really cool.
Well, you know what? We learned about him also. And I do want to let you know, Seat Williams is doing a toy drive as well. Next week, I'm going to be hosting Seat's show, Game On, over on our sister station.
Oh, while he does a toy
NBC
drive.
But while he does toy drive, I'm hosting Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday next week, and then a couple other times the week after that. We'll have some people on. I'm trying to get Desiree Reed Francois on, which should be kind of cool.
I like her.
I love her. And I'm getting, you know, we're kind of getting a few other people on. Should be a good time next week, so make sure you do that. But what we learned about Chet Buchanan, and I don't think he minds saying it, he wasn't really candid about it. The reason, because I asked him, I said, Chet, you know, honestly, the guy that does the you know, in-house at Thomas and Mack and Sam Boyd now isn't bad. It's another radio personality, but Chet Buchanan did a really good job. He's just a natural, and he was really good at it. So I'm like, Chet, what happened, man? I mean, you just one day you stopped doing UNLV, and it was totally Tina Kunzer Murphy. 100, and he had no problem just blurting it right out that it was, you know, that really they had a difference of opinion is the way he put it. And you could see, don't you think, Missy, he was pretty passionate about it, wasn't he?
Yeah, but I think he was genuine. I think he, you know, he got it. They had two different ideas on where to go with everything. So, you know what, he took the right
way. He was basically saying that when it came time to make a decision, he said all the way up with a red hot poker and he walked away. Well, and that's what it seemed like.
Let's be honest, TKM did not exactly make a lot of friends in the media, at least while my time, because I think a lot of people were very critical of the way she did things. And, you know, let's be fair, she got a lot of things wrong.
Mags, here's the bottom line is, let's call it what it is, okay? She was a nice lady. I actually never had her on the show, but she was a nice lady. Here's why, when I say call it what it is, she had her lips, when she finished, were permanently in pucker position with the some of the alumni. For Tita, for 110%, Finley, they were calling the shots. You tell me, I mean, the bottom line is, I'm not going to go into the whole Dave Rice thing. I'm just going to tell you that it was still one of the biggest debacles I have ever seen in mid-season in college basketball in my lifetime. It was disgusting, it was despicable, and it was wrong, regardless of Dave Rice's coaching ability. I wouldn't have sent my kid to UNLV because of that, and Menzies has done such a great job flipping this program around in a couple of years. No matter what you think of the guy, what the product he's putting on the court is unbelievable, considering how she absolutely dismantled this program.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to blame her entirely
for
the way that
Brian, why don't you tell us how you really feel?
Yeah, I mean look,
just don't hold back. Look, please.
Not at all.
Here's the bottom line. If Dave Rice was a good coach, he wouldn't have been fired. I'll just say that.
You know, Max, I will never, we've got a friend of ours that is very critical of Dave Rice. I refuse to be.
I
I'm going to stick to my guns on that forever. You know, coach, again, I said coaching aside, and when it comes down to it, I'm not going to say Dave Rice didn't deserve to lose his job. Not the way that he did.
No, the way that, it was
the way he
was,
did
was
is when you
poor.
When you do something wrong, when you screw up, that's when you get fired the way he did. When you commit violations,
yes,
not
yes.
in the middle of the season because you lost a couple of games. I mean, it was, believe me.
And that season they had beaten, they beat Indiana and Oregon that year too.
Absolutely,
you know?
They did. They nearly beat UCLA as well over in Hawaii.
So you know, it was the 0-3 start in conference, and look, he was unceremoniously fired. The way it was handled was unbelievably piss poor.
A debauchery.
It was debacle, you mean?
No, a debauchery.
Debauchery is something else.
No, it can be that too.
I don't think Dave Rice was into that. But yeah, look, the whole way it was handled was just terrible by TKM. And, you know, she was the one who also gave the extension to Bobby Houck when it was undeserved. So,
in a bowl game that he won by accident because
no, he didn't even win the bowl game.
He got to the bowl game by accident because luckily inserted Caleb Herring into the lineup.
Because he lucked out and Caleb Herring was able to lead that team. It wasn't through Bobby Houck that they made the bowl game. It was because of Caleb Herring that they made the bowl game.
Almost in spite of Bobby Houck.
Yeah, exactly.
Almost in spite of him.
Especially if you were privy to some of the things that you and I know.
100%.
Definitely in spite of Houck.
No doubt.
You know, so I think, I guess we went way off on a tangent here, but at the end of the day, I think the right person is in charge of the athletic department. I think the right person is in charge of the football team. And look, you know what?
What about in charge of the school? Do you like the guy in charge
of
the school?
I like Len Jessup, yeah. And you know what? Because Jessup, to me...
Better than Livingood?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Jessup was the president. Livingood was AD. But
still.
But, you know, I think at the end of the day, I think Len Jessup, he was willing... Look, Len Jessup's getting a medical school at UNLV. As an alum... I'm very proud of that, the fact that my school will have a medical school on campus.
But he also authorized the dismissal of Dave Rice. He had to have.
Well, I think Len Jessup is a guy who allows his athletic department to handle things internally.
And do the job they were hired for.
Yes, I think that's exact. Because I think Jessup will be the first guy to tell you he doesn't know a lot about sports. And a lot of presidents should be like that. A lot of presidents should be hands-off. You know what? You hire people to do a job.
That's what you got a committee for as well.
Exactly. And, you know, I don't blame Jessup for what happened with Chris Beard or with Mick Cronin. I blame Tina Kunzer-Murphy for what happened with those guys. And you know what? It worked out for UNLV because I think at the end of the day, I think Marvin Menzies is going to turn out to be a good coach. I think he's
the best guy for the job right now, for sure.
You know what? Marvin's personality fits Las Vegas. You know, and I think, like I said, at the end of the day, I think things were handled crazily and they went down almost embarrassingly, but at the end of the day, I think it's going to work out for UNLV because look, basketball team is 9-2 on the year. They're in conversation for an NCAA tournament bid. So, you know, and it's only year two. Year one and a half for Marvin. So
no,
I think good things are on the horizon.
I agree.
Like I said, I still like Tony Sanchez. I think he's a good guy. I think he's the right guy for the job because again, he understands Las Vegas. You know, Las Vegas is not Westwood, it's not Baton Rouge, it's not San Diego. It's a different animal. And people here are different. And you need the kind of guy who understands Las Vegas. To me, Marvin Menzies understands Las Vegas. To me, even though things went south, Tim Chambers understood Las Vegas. He got it, you know.
I think he got a raw deal.
Well, he may tell you otherwise, but you know, I don't know, but
you got a raw deal.
Marvin gets Las Vegas. Marvin's personality fits Las Vegas.
I'm not going to disagree. Hey, listen, before we take a break, what we're talking about with Blazin' is I got a chance after the game. We did get a chance to talk to the Boise State quarterback, which is Brett Rypien. He is the nephew of Mark Rypien, who won a Super Bowl with the Washington Redskins. Guy put together a pretty decent career playing for the Redskins. And played for someone else, too. I think he played for the Ravens at the end of his career. I don't know. I'll have to look up.
I can't remember where Rypien. He finished somewhere else.
Might have been in Baltimore. But the whole thing is with Rypien is I couldn't stand him. The Lions' only playoff win came in January of 92 that sent them to the NFC Championship game to get dusted by Mark Rypien and the Redskins.
And actually, Rypien had the illustrious career. He won the Super Bowl with the Redskins. Then he went to Cleveland, St. Louis, Philadelphia, back to St. Louis, Atlanta, Colts, the Seahawks.
Wow, I didn't know he played
and
on
he
that
played
many
for
spots.
For the Rochester Raiders. I don't know if that's an arena league team, but most people don't know.
He didn't want to leave it alone.
Mark Rypien, actually born in Calgary. He's Calgary. Canadian.
Wow, he's Canadian. I didn't know that either. I just know I couldn't stand the guy. And I really expected, I was thinking, you know, his nephew, he's got an uncle that's famous. You know, he's playing for Boise. He's probably going to be a little bit arrogant. It was anything but that. And taking us to break, man, this is a little chat I had with Rypien after the game yesterday. This is on Facebook Live as well. You can see this there, too.
So, Brett Rypien, how you feeling, man? Very, very nice win today.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I feel awesome. You know, that was a great team win. You know, we said coming into the game that, you know, we had accomplished one part of our goal, and that was to win the Mountain West, but we wanted to finish it off by winning a bowl game. So, it feels great.
Probably the one thing you're not looking forward to watching in film tomorrow is the very end of the first half. I said the only thing that was missing was Rod Serling in the twilight zone. I mean, 14 points in about 20 seconds. Describe the feeling at the end of the first half when you guys have all the momentum. You're kicking their ass pretty much, and then that happens.
Yeah, you know, it was definitely we dug ourselves a hole there for sure. But you know, we got into halftime, and you know, the message was we're still up 24-14. So you know, let's go out and put a drive together. And you know, I think that just shows the resiliency of our group to come out and you know, put a drive together that first drive coming out in the half, and you know, being able to score there.
The one play, and I haven't seen it in a long time, but you guys have been successful with the old Statue of Liberty play. You guys actually have that in your bag of tricks, don't you?
Yep, we do. You know, obviously didn't go the way we wanted to do it today, but yeah, we'll always have that in the stash there for sure.
You know, I know it's a bowl game. It's not a regular season game, but you guys won the conference championship in the Mountain West, and I know Oregon may not be the greatest team in the Pac-12, but still, it's a pretty darn good Oregon team. It's the Pac-12. How big of a win is this for you and your program?
It's a big win. You know, anytime we get a chance to play on national television against a, you know, a Power 5 conference opponent, you know, we like to take full advantage of that. So it means a lot for our program and, you know, the city of Boise, and you know, I'm just happy we could bring home the trophy.
That was cool. Last question. You get asked this all the time. Your uncle's Mark Rippon. Being from Detroit, I can't stand the guy. He took out my Lions in the 1991 NFC Championship game. But is he giving you encouragement? You talked to him, and how much has he helped you in your career?
Yeah, you know, he texts me all the time, you know, before and after games, and you know, it's really helpful. Thanks. It's really helpful to me, you know, throughout my whole career, and you know, really good guy to look up to.
Thank you very much.
Awesome. Thanks.
Pop music. This is pop music. We are writing and recording pop music. This is pop music. This is pop music. We are writing and recording pop music.
Line Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM 1340 AM, and it is the home of the Vegas Golden Knights. Time for Nightcap.
Hockey players, as you know, are warriors. They don't give up. They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
Hey, Mark, real quick, one goal that you gave tonight, really it was just about a shutout. You guys played so well at both ends of the goal. I didn't hear him give the official an assist on that goal, but it hit the official and popped out front. If that doesn't happen, it's probably a shutout tonight.
Maybe, but you know, you can't play with the ifs and what if, you know. I think it's just stuff happens and you gotta live with it. I thought the guys had a great response, you know. They kept coming, they kept playing well, and didn't let that bother us, you know, and worked out at the end.
The right point, he throws it across, intercepted. It's a bank pass up the right wing side. In they come with Sherry, way out of his crease, poked out of his zone by Fleury. What an aggressive play from Marc-Andre Fleury. I'm not sure that Sherry had any idea that was going to happen. It was a very aggressive play. Here's Phil Kessel. Feed right. Shot saved by Fleury with a right kick stop. Cleared all the way back down by the Golden Knights. Fleury denies Evgeny Malkin.
We'll play a little tic-tac-toe over here. Dan Duva talking about the saves that Marc-Andre Fleury made. And, you know, Mags, I'll tell you what, watching this team, it's amazing to me. And I've had this argument a few times with people saying, you know, they should really turn the reins over to Malcolm Subban, and it blows my mind people would absolutely say that. The guy is only, and I'm talking about Fleury, is only 33 years old. He's had some concussion issues over his career, which is why they had the extended layoff. They've got to be very careful when you have, you know, he's had what I think is third or fourth, but the bottom line is this guy has 3 Stanley Cups. For the past decade plus, he has been one of the best goaltenders, not just in the National Hockey League now, but in National Hockey League history, and we're talking about replacing him at 33 years old? Really?
Yeah. Look, we saw against the Penguins, and we saw a little bit against Carolina, too, as to why Marc-Andre Fleury is going to be an integral part of this team going forward if they're going to make the playoffs. Look, I like Malcolm Subban a lot. I think he's going to be a very, very good goalie in the NHL. But the reality is, Marc-Andre Fleury, at this particular moment in time, is the better goalie. And that's not a knock on Malcolm. Malcolm, like I said, I think he's going to be really, really good because he's so athletic. He's a big body. He's quick. He's intelligent. He understands what he's doing in the in between the pipes.
Oh, he's an up-and-coming star goaltender in the National Hockey League.
But Marc-Andre Fleury, you know, you're going to get to the point in your schedule. Look, you got Alexander Ovechkin coming in next week, next Saturday. Tuesday, you've got a game against arguably the best team in the NHL. I mean, I don't even think at this particular moment in time there's a debate about the fact that the Tampa Bay Lightning are the best team in the NHL. They've been the best team in the NHL basically since the start of the season in October. So, you know, it's still a learning experience for Malcolm Subban. He's still going to learn some things going forward, and he's going to learn a lot of things from Marc-Andre Fleury, because we saw the other night in against Pittsburgh, Matt Murray is a really good goalie. You know, he made a lot of really big saves. And, you know, the game against Pittsburgh, it had the buildup of a playoff game and had the atmosphere. That's the when John Merrill scored that goal, I think it's the loudest T-Mobile had been since opening night. You know, and I was fortunate to be at opening night. I was fortunate enough to be at the game against Pittsburgh. And I'll say this, as a guy who was a casual hockey fan up until a few years ago, I mean, I wasn't a hardcore hockey fan, I'm not going to lie. But I forced myself to learn. I've learned a lot of things. Watching Sidney Crosby play live, I never got to see Michael Jordan play live, but I would imagine that's what it must have been like to see Michael Jordan play live, because Sidney Crosby is amazing. The way he skates, his vision. But anyway, you know, with Fleury, he just gets it, you know, and he's a leader, because when you know, I'm in the locker room almost every day after practice talking to these guys. And the admiration that these players have for Fleury and the way they speak of him. And, you know, Fleury was talking to the media, and David Perron is coming in and he's playing a joke on Fleury. He's taking the stick and he's putting it through the legs of the media, and he's messing with Fleury, kind of distracting him a little bit. So, and I talked to Perron, and one of the things he said was that, you know, what Fleury brings is he is so aware of everything on the ice. Like, if I make a play, he'll talk to me in French. He knows who's on the ice at all times. He knows who's in front of him. He just has so much awareness. And it's like, look, like I said, Subban's going to be a good goalie. But at this particular moment, Malcolm or Marc-Andre Fleury is the man. And I think it's crazy for anyone to say that Subban should be in there at this particular moment.
No doubt about it. To me, it's a moot point. I mean, it's great to have Malcolm Subban as your backup goaltender, as I do believe he is, again, an up-and-coming goaltender that's going to be great down the road and in the future. But right now, you got to go with Fleury. But one of the things, you know, yesterday I sat next to Jeff Klein and Clayton Hamilton at the Las Vegas Bowl, and I was talking to Clayton. I said, come on, man. Anybody that says they thought William Karlsson was going to be an all-star caliber player this year is flat out lying. I mean, he has exceeded everyone's expectations. I know, Chris, we both like the kid a lot. He is a gritty, you look at him and you wouldn't think he's as gritty as he is.
Well, he does a lot of things right.
Everything right. He goes into the corners, Chris. He plays defense well, which is something that's not even part of his repertoire. And the one thing he's doing is, man, is he accounting for points.
Well,
tied for the point lead on the team. Tied for the lead in goals. He was winning, leading the team in goals till Neil scored one.
He's already surpassed career highs, and it's only the 31st game of the season.
31st game, man.
You know, but a lot of players, like I talked to Marchessault a lot, and I talked to Riley Smith, and the things they say about William Karlsson are that he's a 200-foot player. He creates turnovers in the neutral zone. You know, and the other guy who impresses me all the time is Erik Haula. Erik Haula, to me, is he's young, but he is going to be a really good player.
He's a really good skater.
I mean, and the way everyone talks about the Merrill goal, and I love John Merrill. He's one of my favorite guys on the team because I talk to the guy every single day. I mean, he came in and did a show with us in studio for an hour to talk college football. So the guy Haula, you know, everyone's talking about the goal, but the pass that he made and the defensive play that he made to set up that goal. It was amazing because he intercepted the puck at center ice with his hand. You know, he blocked it with his hand, dropped it, and then set Merrill up for a slap shot. And you know, it was just an amazing play by Haula that kind of got lost in just how awesome it was for John Merrill to score that goal. I mean, you really cannot have written a better script for a goal than that.
I don't think you could have written a better script for the game itself against Pittsburgh. The way that, I mean, Mags, to shut down their power play, when you've got players, as you mentioned.
Second best power play in the NHL?
Oh, my goodness. And like I said, man, Sidney Crosby is an amazing skater. You said it yourself. Watching that guy skate, I hate using overplayed terms like poetry in motion, but truly, Sidney Crosby is magical on skates, and yet they shut him down, held him without a point in the game. And this is a bona fide all-star. Phil Kessel, too, man, I mean, is as good as it gets. And to hold those two off the scoreboard is pretty impressive for three periods. The Golden Knights are firing on all cylinders. They are 100% blazing as well. And I'll tell you what, man, it is pretty exciting right now in Las Vegas to see the UNLV basketball team, which is going to be a mystery, like Chris said, until we get into the regular season, and to see the Golden Knights playing as well as they have. It's great. I know, Missy, you're getting to your first game against the Rangers coming up here in a couple weeks. You're pretty
excited.
Yeah,
I'm really excited.
I mean,
for that.
Right? I mean, you're going to see the Rangers play in Las Vegas.
I know. It's going to be a lot of fun.
But like me, you got to adopt the team, man. You got to adopt them. I mean, I just have. I mean, you know.
I'm definitely going to embrace it.
I don't want to have a Red Wings Vegas Golden Knight debate ever, because that would be unfair to do to me. But the bottom line is, man, this is really, really cool. Yeah. They are an expansion team, and I don't think anyone would think right now it's even remotely far-fetched that they may play, they may see the postseason in their very first year of existence. Would be just far exceeding anyone's expectations that's telling the truth. Mags, let's take our final break. We've got to come back. We've got our NFL picks of the week coming up. We're going to let Misty take a crack at them this week. We're on fire. Mags has lost two in a row, which is not what Mags has been doing all year. Dewey's back on the winning streak, and I've actually won two in a row. That is a shocker. This is Out of Line, Fox Sports Radio. All right. It is that time again. Mags, it's crazy. Cumulatively, 32-16, and our guests, including Frank Harnish last week, going with the Packers. 8-1 are our guests right now. Caleb Herring, really the guy on fire. 5-0 in his picks. Shapiro's the only one with the loss. He's 1-1. Chris Wynn and Frank Harnish both 1-0. Missy's going to pick today. Dewey is leading the pack as he has been all year. Won again last week. He's 10-4. With Chris's two losses in a row, it drops him to 8-6. I'm only one back with my two wins, 7-7, and we're going through the Super Bowl. So we got a chance to catch Dewey, and we got to catch him, man.
Yeah, well, Seattle really peed all over themselves last week.
I told you I like Jacksonville.
Yeah, that was a good one. And then the week before that, I had the Steelers, and they were what I think it was laying 4, and they won by 3 or something like that. So, you know, it's funny because when I do the best bets with T.C. Martin, I'm leading the pack. Like,
well, I got to stop you for 1 second for one reason right now, because we're not going to let you go first. We got a lady in the room, right?
That's good.
We got to open the door
because I don't know where I'm going yet.
Let's turn it around and let's get her rationale and reasoning, because I already know what she's picking. We talked about it during the break. She's going against me. Willie Ramirez likes the team that I like, but she's going against both of us.
You're going against me because I said it first. And you're
you
like,
did
no.
say it first. I already like the other one, but go ahead. Tell her, what are you taking here?
I'm doing Dolphins. I'm going to go Dolphins all the way.
You know, and I, you know, why don't you tell the real reason why you're going with the Dolphins?
She likes Jay Cutler.
No, not at all. It's because it's Florida. It's a Florida team. It is.
And you know what? And the Bills are from New York. So what do you got?
But you'd rather be in Florida than Buffalo, New York, any day of the week. Any day of the week, including Sundays, you'd rather be in Miami, Florida than in Buffalo, New York.
True
or false?
You know what? Technically, the Bills are the only New York team.
Okay, we got to wrap it up. So you're taking them.
Yeah.
And here, give me this back. Because what are they laying here? The Bills are laying 3 at home, and you're taking the Dolphins, getting 3 points on the road against the Bills. It's interesting. Watch that come in. Mags, what are you going with?
Well, I'm going to go like Frank Harnish, and I'm going to go against a hated team, and I'm going to take the Patriots laying 2.5 at Pittsburgh. Gronkowski back. New England owns Ben Roethlisberger, Mike Tomlin. I'm going Patriots.
Well, I'm saying 3 according to the Review Journal.
Okay. Okay. Well, so I'm looking at.
Well, we're going with Dewey's paper. Dewey's taking the Eagles again, giving up 7.5 on the road with Nick Foles at the helm against the Giants. I don't like that at all. I'm going against my friend Sfiga over here, and I'm going with the Bills laying the 3 points at home against the Dolphins. Hey, listen, this is out of time. We're out of line. I'm Brian. She's Missy. He's Mags. We'll be back next week. I want to thank everyone for joining the show. Again, 8 to 9, and look out for Facebook Live coming your way again Wednesday at the Thomas and Mack Center. I'm out. We'll see you next week.